We're starting a series on the church, and really because I think the church has been an institution, an organization, a called out people that has been maligned and misunderstood for so many years. I mean, when you say the word church to somebody, how many people put a smile on and get happy thoughts? I mean, it's like what I talked about. You know, you say the word church, people will put, what do they put with the word church? Church, boring, right? Church, outdated. Church, relic from the past. Church, hypocrites. And then everybody will have their church story. You talk to somebody and they'll say, well, you know, I was at this church and this is what happened to me. Most of the time, it's negative, isn't it? Over and over and over, we have this association within, sometimes within ourselves and within the culture, that church is negative. And so when you tell someone, I go to church or I'm a part of a church, sometimes they even look at you strange. What did you do this weekend? I went to church. Really? Come on, have you been there before? In other words, what? Did somebody die? Now, I ministered for many years in Europe. You know, they saw the church in many of these countries, these Northern European countries, as a place that you got baptized, married, and buried. That was it. And sometimes because we are influenced more by our culture than we are by the Word of God, we believe that the church is man's invention. That man invented the church. God, Jesus, brought the kingdom, but we established the church. Do you ever think that way? I want you to know the first time the church was mentioned. We're going to take a look at it in this passage. Passage in Matthew 16, 13 to 18, it says this, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah. That's the same word we used for Christ, as in Christ the King. You are the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood. That means no man told him it, nor did it originate in his own thoughts, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter. And on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I want you to see that. This is the first time the church is mentioned in the New Testament. Who's going to build it? Did he tell Peter to build his church? No. Did he say the church is a work of man? I came, Jesus, of course, came to bring the kingdom. But he also established a church. Do you know what the church is? The church, the word in Greek is ekklesia. It's this idea that these are gathering of God's people. It was a common word used for a gathering of people. Some people like to talk about the etymology of the word because you could take it apart and it literally means called out. Called out, a gathering of God's called out people, called out, called to himself. And he's saying, Peter, I am going to build my church and the gates of hell or Hades will not overcome it. Now here's the beautiful thing I want you to see in this. I want you to see two things. I want you to see the confession that Peter made. He said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And I want you to see that he picked a person and he identified Peter. And I think there are two things that we misunderstand when we think about the church. Number one is we focus either on the human part of the church, the man, the individual, the people, the pastors. to the extent of the divine proclamation over the church, which is Jesus is Lord. And I believe when you really get into this passage that we realize that what God, Jesus is affirming in Peter is he's affirming that this confession that Jesus was the Messiah, he was the Son of the living God. And if you follow a verse or two down, you'll see that Jesus told them to keep that quiet because he didn't want it to get out because he knew he had a mission to go to the cross, and that cross had a timing and had ministry, he had ministry to do before they were going to take him to the cross. And he says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And over and over and over, proclaiming the name of Jesus, proclaiming that Jesus was Lord, got Christians in trouble. Did you know that? The proclamation that Jesus was Lord got early Christians murdered because they were supposed to say that Caesar was Lord. They were supposed to pledge allegiance to Caesar, but they didn't. If they didn't pledge allegiance to Caesar and they said Jesus was Lord, there were times in the early church that people would die for that very faith. Some of you remember one of the first persecutions in the church as we studied years ago, the book of Acts in Acts chapter 9. I think it's around 13 or something like that, Acts chapter 9, where Paul was, after 3 years of persecuting the church, was met by Jesus. And Jesus says to him, Paul, Paul, why do you persecute me? Now, who was Paul persecuting? The church. He was going after people. We know Stephen was the first martyr. We knew that's where Paul came out. The people threw their coats at Paul's feet. He was blessing the killing of this proclaimer of the truth, this early disciple, this early follower of Jesus. And Paul went around and he would persecute and at times probably even kill early Christians. And Jesus didn't say, Paul, why are you persecuting my church? He said, why are you persecuting me? You see, we have this deal where we like to talk about the church and we like to criticize the church, or we like to talk about our bad experience in the church. The culture out in the world doesn't like to think positively about the church. But we have to realize over and over and over that it's not our church. It's the church of Jesus Christ. And that when we truly attack the church of Jesus Christ, we're not just attacking the church like Paul, we're attacking Jesus. If you follow that little story in Acts chapter 9, you'll find out that later Paul was blinded because he was knocked off his donkey. He couldn't see. He was taken to a person's house. A godly man named Ananias was called by Jesus to go and to pray for him. And there was a word spoken over Paul at that time. And he said, I am going to show you. Jesus spoke to him and said, I am going to show you how much you're going to suffer for my name. And that's why I think when Peter had this confession that Jesus was the Messiah, there is something powerful about the proclamation of Jesus' name. There is something indelibly linked between the church, the body of Christ, and the name and the person of Jesus, that this is how he chose to work and chooses to work in this world. And the hard part about the church is a lot of us can believe the confession. We've come to faith in Christ. We believe that Jesus is Christ. We believe that he's the Messiah. We love to read his word. We love to have a prayer time. We love this part of the relationship. I mean, how many times we were reading this, had a great elders retreat. We spent time in the first three chapters of Ephesians. And if you read the first three chapters of Ephesians, you will start to get how much God loves you. It's all over there, over and over and over, the amazing love of Christ. And we love that part of our relationship where Jesus speaks to us and shows us how much he loves us, that he died for our sins on the cross. And I love that we do communion because we place the cross back in the center of this church, and we're saying it's about your forgiveness, it's about your love, it's about who you are in us and how you want to work through us. And I love that part of the relationship I have with Jesus. The problem is he looked at Peter and he chose a person. He said, I want you to do something. And the most of the time when we have a problem, in the church, it's usually not between us and God. I mean, sometimes it is when there's sin in your life or something like that. It's usually with another person. I mean, say, Jack, I had fun. What did I call you today? Some goof? I called you a weirdo or something like that? Yeah. Now, and see, Jack could be offended at that, you know? But you don't know. Jack's been over my house. He's helped me wire stuff up. We have this relationship, and I forget that I shouldn't call him a weirdo. Even Jack is just the fun, funny, great guy. So wants to embarrass me publicly by giving me a trophy. No, generally wants to thank me. But all I'm saying is these little things like that in the church can offend people. And we have these interactions all the time. Sometimes big things can offend people. I remember years ago, I was at this church. Young man, 18, 19 years old. Pull up my car. I get out of my car. It was the summertime or spring. It was warm weather. Person gets out of their car. Another person gets out of their car. They're right next to me where I can hear them. And the one lady says to the other one, you know, your guardian angels were probably back there around 35, but you were blowing them away. You know, we're going 40 or 50, you know? And she just got out and told the lady she was speeding, and if she wanted God's protection, she better stay to the speed limit, you know? And I thought, whoa, you know? I figure, you know, if God's got, like, systems in our world set up for rebuke, and they got little lights on their car, and you know when you've missed it. But people in the church sometimes volunteer information to us, don't they? You know, for years, and I had to learn this when I went to the Netherlands, because we pastored and reached out to such a diverse community. I'd never been in a church that diverse. I mean, we literally would have punkers and people with leathers and spikes and things in their ears and spiked hair. We'd had Asian business people that would be in the back of the service with their suits and all dressed nicely, filming it. We would have guys, business guys, that would either just be in casual sweaters or some would choose to wear suits. I mean, we had this diverse cultural kind of church, and you couldn't, you know, I mean, even in the Netherlands, you couldn't, you know, have one standard. You know, you would see women feeding their babies in church, and they didn't use bottles. You just had this diverse group of people. And I learned something. I said, you know, I learned that I wasn't going to comment on somebody's lifestyle until they asked me to. When they asked me for it, I would be more than happy to share my opinion. But when I stepped out and crossed that boundary, I realized that some of them weren't ready for it. And then I thought about how God deals with us, that many times as God deals with us, when we come to know Him, He doesn't drop a whole bag of truth on us at one time. I mean, who could carry that stuff? If you knew everything about your Christian life, if you knew every sin that He knows that you did, I mean, none of us could walk under that weight or that pressure. Because I believe even when we are unaware of sin in our life, God sees sin that we don't even see. I mean, theologians call those sins of omission, things that we don't do that we should have done. And so I think, you know what? I believe in the church. And the part that's easy to believe is the amazing gift of Christ coming and saving us our sins and giving us new life and starting a relationship with us. But the hard part is when He looks at you and I and He calls us and he basically, like He did to Peter, hey, I'm choosing you. And I'm choosing you and I'm choosing you. And I'm not just going to choose you individually, but I'm going to ask you to come and be in a relationship with others. That's why I'm so excited that Mark is renewing small groups in the church. I've got to know a whole new group of people and starting to get some new friends that I never knew before. I love this little small group because God sort of put together people in our group that were different. We have a first-generation Greek-speaking person, a first-generation Spanish-speaking person, a second-generation Hungarian-speaking person. I lived in all these European countries. I'm linguistically challenged. I got survival everything, but never mastered anything. And it's all these groups of people. And I say, God, look what you're doing. And we get a chance to discover what it means to walk together as followers and build relationships. But church, the toughest part about being the church is being it together. Most of the New Testament wouldn't have been written if it was so easy to be the church together. And people can criticize the church, and people will. And you need to understand this. When you came into the church of Jesus Christ, when you confessed Christ as Lord and Savior, when you were born from above, when God filled you with His Spirit, you crossed a line. You went from death to life. You went from darkness to light. And in that, there began a warfare that was going to go on for your soul. That's why Jesus taught His followers, "Lead me not into temptation and deliver me from evil and the evil one." That there is a battle that goes on for every blood-bought follower of Jesus Christ. And it started 2,000 years ago, and it continues to this day. Read recently an article, I referred to it on Christmas Eve, and it says this. It was a new study done and said that Christianity is one of the most persecuted religions in the world today. Do you hear the press talking about this? No. And the study said this. It cites that they estimate 200 million Christians worldwide are socially disadvantaged, harassed, and actively oppressed for their belief. 200 million Christians. They talk about in our day and age now, there is an exodus in the Middle East, the birthplace of Christianity, for people that are believers in Jesus and followers of Jesus, and they have been there for thousands of years, and many of them are being forced out. Friends, when we became a part of the Church of Jesus Christ, we became a part of Jesus. And do you remember what Jesus said in John 15? He said that if people hated me, they're going to also hate you. And these people aren't being persecuted because they have bad personalities. They're not being persecuted because they look different. They're being persecuted because they named the name of Jesus and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, that He came to this earth. He lived a perfect life. He died a death on the cross for our sins. He rose from the grave. He ascended to heaven, and someday He's going to come again. And if you follow Him, something crazy happens. He changes your life from the inside out, and He brings you in to His church. I want to wrap up with just this thought. I like to think sometimes when I have a tendency to get critical of the church, I like to think, what would the world be like today if Jesus never would have come and the church would have never been birthed? And my thoughts go down the road, and I think about, you know, all the hospitals that were started in Christ's name. Like, you might not know it now, but you look at hospitals, even in our area, like Fairview started as a Christian hospital. St. John's, you know. I mean, you can go on and on and on. Do you know most of the major Ivy League schools were started to be Christian organization and education centers? Do you know all the crazy good works that have gone on all over the world to help people? Now, some of those organizations don't carry the gospel very bright anymore, but at the very origins and the good that was done through them started with the gospel of Jesus motivation. I talked about the practice of widow burning and India. I talked about the practice of foot binding in China. Over and over and over, they are things that have taken place in culture that lovers of God, because of the Christian influence, have changed. As you keep reflecting on it, And I challenge you to. You'll even come up with things like organizations like Greenpeace, organizations that argue for civil rights, organizations that you would say these aren't necessarily Christian organizations. And I'm saying they would not even be on this planet if it wasn't for the gospel of Jesus Christ, because the idea of rights came from the gospel. The idea that there should be some kind of justice in this world came from the gospel. I mean, you just take time and reflect at the effect of the good news of Jesus Christ that's had on our culture, had on society, and had on our world. My friends, I believe in the church. And the biggest reason I believe in the church is it was Jesus' idea. And it's Jesus' church. And I want to open up the altar for prayer. We're going to ask the elders and pastors to come. For anybody at the end of this service that has to sort of heal from a wound of the church. Because let me tell you, when you bring people together, we hurt each other. Any of you have been married? You don't question that one, you know? And if you've been in relationships, we hurt each other. We don't mean to. And some of you have been hurt from the church. And as we start this series, I'd just like to provide a space for you to pray, and maybe someone can pray over you and asking for you to be able to release the pain, the hurt, so you could move on and embrace the mystery and the majesty of the Church of Jesus Christ. Let's stand up and pray together. Father, you are the one that birthed the church. You did it through your Son, Jesus. You call out people to yourself to follow you. You do it with a powerful message, the good news of Jesus and the person of Jesus Christ. And you do it through people. Imperfect, fallen, broken, but you still do it. And Lord, as we lay a foundation to really embrace the calling to be the church this year in 2013, everything that you have wanted the church to be, everything that you have called us to be, we want to be a part of that. All the good that you want to work in and through us, all the hope, all the vision, all the dreams that you have for this place and for your church, we want to have ears and eyes open. So thank you, Lord, for having the church. It's your idea. We embrace it. Father, heal us from wounds that we have from the church. And then form us even tighter into the community, the called out ones, the gathered ones, for your glory in your world. In Jesus' name, amen.